class reauthorized and expanded the USA Patriot Act in March 2006. I voted against it, although I voted for the first one. I stated then that I felt the administration and the Congress had missed an opportunity to get it right. But we were able to include some sunshine provisions, which has given us insight that we use today in our examination of national security letters, or the NSLs. I've long been concerned by the scope of the authority for NSLs, the lack of accountability for their use. And thankfully, we're able to include requirements for review of the NSL program by the Inspector General when we reauthorized the Patriot Act. There had not been that kind of a review before. Now, for 2 years, those reports by the Inspector General have revealed extremely troubling and widespread misuse of NSLs. The authority to issue NSLs allows the Federal Bureau of Investigation to request sensitive personal information, phone bills, email transactions, bank records, credit reports, things that could basically stop a business while they try to put this all together, and do this without a judge, without a grand jury, without even having a prosecutor evaluate those requests. And in the reports, the Inspector General has found some very, very disturbing misuse of this authority. The Inspector General's report found widespread violations, including failure to comply with even the minimal authorization requirements, and more disturbingly, that the FBI requested and received information to which it was not entitled under the law. And the reports found some rampant confusion about the authorities and virtually no checks to ensure compliance or correct mistakes. But what I found very significant, the Inspector General found NSL use has grown to nearly 50,000 a year, and nearly 60% of those NSLs are used to find information about Americans. It's a major change in the years since 9/11. I've raised these concerns publicly and privately with Director Mueller of the FBI. In fairness, the FBI has acknowledged some problems. It's issued new guidelines. New guidance, a new data system to track issuance of these NSLs. It's also created an Office of Integrity and Compliance to ensure that there are processes and procedures in place to ensure compliance. I believe that the director and his staff are sincere in their efforts, but I'm not persuaded the actions taken have been enough. So we're following up on an earlier oversight hearing to ask what changes are needed to the statutory authority. Among the things that concern me are whether the law should require higher level review and approval, perhaps judicial or Department of Justice review, before NSLs can be issued. Is the standard for issuance, which requires only that it be relevant to a terrorism investigation, too lenient? I mention this because we've seen all the statistics, all the sudden huge increase in the number of arrests that were related and said to be terrorism. Then when we ask the question about that they are terrorists, why did they get a fine or 30 days in jail or 60 days in jail if it was that? Well, it turned out they were just run-of-the-mill cases that they reclassified so that they make the statistics look good. I want to know if that's the same thing here. The scope of documents available under NSL is too broad. I'd like to hear how we can ensure that there are adequate standards for determining when private records on U.S. persons that have been collecting using NSLs, how can they be retained? Actually, how can they be disseminated and used? Is somebody, because one of these NSLs is issued with no guidance, no checks and balances or anything else, and their name gets picked up, are they going to find someday when their kids are trying to get into college, or are they blocked if they're trying to get a job or a promotion? Are they suddenly blocked and nobody knows, or they don't know why? Now, I commend Senator Feingold. He's been a leader in this issue. I believe his bipartisan bill, the National Security Letter Reform Act of 2007, is on the right track, particularly in its recognition of the need for a real check on independent oversight of NSLs. The bill would also narrow the extraordinarily broad scope of information that NSLs can acquire. It'd make the standard for their issuance more rigorous. I look forward to hearing our witnesses' view on this important legislation, getting ideas from them if there are other important steps we could take. And the problem we see with NSL is just one part of a much broader concern. We all know that the changing nature of national security threats, and particularly the threat from international terrorism, has required changes to the way the government collects and uses intelligence, the kind of information it needs. Nobody disagrees with that. But we have to remember what a perilous undertaking it is when the government engages in domestic spying. Americans don't like it, and for very good reason. We have a long history of abuses. The Red Scare of 1919, McCarthyism, COINTELPRO, Watergate, the recent Pentagon Talon database program, the collected information on Quakers and other anti-war protesters. Can you imagine the shock that must have been, those collecting that to find that Quakers were protesting a war? Quakers always protest a war. The shock would have been if when they did that, spying on these Quakers, if they had them saying, we're in favor of war. Now that would have been worth collecting. So if we're going to adapt our collection and use of information for Americans to a changing threat, we have to be sure to do the same for the checks and accountability mechanisms. We have to protect our liberties as Americans. And the FBI's misuse of NSLs is one example of the need for clearly defined procedures and careful controls when collecting and using domestic intelligence, but we have to be just as vigilant in other areas, data mining, use of satellites to collect domestic information, biometrics, fusion centers. They're all tools for national security, but each is fraught with the potential for privacy invasions and harm to American liberties. And we in the Congress have a responsibility to see how these are being used. So I'm looking forward to this. And Senator Spector, who mentioned that the senior Republican on the committee, Senator Spector, has a long history of asking these questions of both Republicans and Democrats. And I'm glad you're here.